You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Well, we're in Matthew chapter 9. Man, I'm loving going through Matthew, man. I'm loving it. Loving it. It's quite convicting. There's so much stuff in here. Before we jump in, I will say this, senior saints or retired saints, right? Whatever you want to call it, plan to be here tomorrow. If you would say, hey, whatever age you want to put that at. But we have a great time of just fellowship. And I would challenge you, hey, come be part of that community. Connect. It's from 11. Get here at 11:30, they bring a side dish, and it's just a great time of fellowship. It's probably, I just love going and hanging out and just being with our seniors. There's so much wisdom there and faith there, and just I love that time, and so I just did want to put that back out there. But Matthew chapter number nine, the title today is Faith, the Missing Link. Faith, the Missing Link. What do you do when your problem is bigger than your power to fix it? Think about that for a second. What do you do when your problem is bigger than your power to fix it? This is exactly where every person is at in Matthew chapter number 9. It's an interesting chapter. They find themselves facing sickness, death, blindness, spiritual oppression with no solution in sight. It's the doctor's note that says, hey, it's incurable. It's the relationship that says, hey, there's no repair. It's the death that says there's no hope. Here, all of these things and there's no solution in sight. And into every one of these moments here in this chapter steps Jesus. And it's interesting too because he's revealed in this chapter by four different titles. He's revealed here in this chapter as first the Son of Man with authority. He's revealed as the Son of David with mercy. He's revealed as the great physician who heals. He's revealed as the bridegroom who brings great joy. Each name shows us something different about who he is, but together they reveal one undeniable truth, that there is no form of human brokenness that Jesus can't heal. Will we say amen to that? Here, as we look at this, yet the defining difference in every encounter, and this is what we're going to see here, the defining difference in every encounter is not just his power, but the response to his person. Many see him, but only those who come to him in faith experience his power at work in their lives. This passage makes it clear, and listen very close to this statement. It is not just faith in general that changes everything. It is not just having faith that changes everything. It is faith in Jesus that changes everything. I hear people say it all the time. I have faith. And we're going to see in this chapter, faith can be very easily misplaced. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Say it with me. It's faith alone in Christ alone. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what the Lord has for us from this chapter. Lord God, we love you, and I do thank you for just bringing us once again to your word, Lord. I pray that you would calm the distractions of our minds or the worries that we have going on. I pray that you would just help us to be focused this morning on your word, to put off the distractions, Lord. I pray that you give us ears to hear. I pray that your spirit would commune with us with the word of God and teach us and instruct us, Lord, in ways that only you can through your word. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Write it down, number one, if you would. Faith believes Jesus has the power over disease. Faith believes Jesus has power over disease. Write it down, that is, if you're taking notes. Look at verse number 18. While he yet spake, and this is where we left off, so we're picking up verse by verse, chapter by chapter, okay? Verse 18, while he spake these things unto them. Now remember, what things is he speaking? He's here now talking to the Pharisees, his disciples, and talking about the bridegroom and the new and old and those kind of things. And he's talking about that, and he's literally interrupted here. It says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now... What's that next word? Verse number 18. My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. But look at verse number 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Touched the hem of his garment. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Notice this woman's problem. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She spent all of her money on doctors trying to find healing and found none. Luke chapter 8 verse 43 would tell us that she spent all of her money looking for a cure, but there was none to be found. She was weak and anemic, exhausted from the consistent blood loss. It even gets worse. Imagine the embarrassment because of her condition. Because of her issue, the Bible would tell us that she was separated from other people because of her condition. In Leviticus chapter number 15, in 15:25-27 would say that she would be considered unclean because of that issue. Can you imagine being in her shoes? Isolated, alone, weak, and anemic, and hopeless. Trying everything she could have tried. For an issue that she couldn't control, the embarrassment, this woman had no hope for her condition. She tried everything. But then I want you to notice not just the problem, I want you to notice the woman's faith. The woman's faith. And you're going to see this pattern repeated over and over. It's the problem. It's the faith. It's the power of Jesus. It's the problem. And Jesus is showing us, Scripture is showing us the power of Jesus. Over and over again, it's showing us the problem, the faith, and the power of Jesus. And so we see the woman's faith. Look at verse number 21. And I want you to notice the first five words. Say them with me. She said within herself. Say it with me again. She said within herself. See, faith starts on the inside before it ever gets to the outside. See, faith doesn't start on the outside and work its way in. Faith starts on the inside and works its way out. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Now that's a big statement, because she could have literally been stoned for that. She could have been stoned for going up, reaching toward Jesus, because she was considered unclean. And I love that Jesus doesn't separate himself from people that others would consider unclean, but he drew near to that leper. He touched the people most other people were afraid to even come near. See, she heard about Jesus. She heard about his compassion for hurting people. And his power to heal what no one else could. Can you imagine, after being hopeless for so many years, all of a sudden hearing the name of Jesus? What did I hear you say? Did I hear you say that he touched a leprous man? Wasn't he afraid? And I can hear her, this resonating in her heart and in her mind. She heard, but faith doesn't just sit idle. Faith doesn't just sit idle. Faith always seeks the person or object the individual faith is focused on. Faith always seeks the person or objects the individual faith is focused on. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Hey, if I can just come close to Jesus. See, oftentimes faith is misplaced. We put faith in doctors and faith in our jobs and faith in people and faith in our wealth and faith in religion. But the problem is sometimes we can misplace our faith. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doctors, by the way. You know, I'm not saying, hey, but ultimately God is the one that gives the healing. God is the one that provides the mean. It's not what's in your bank account. And if it is, you're not living by faith. You're living by sight. See, God has given to each one of us a measure of faith for one reason and one reason only. And that is to place that faith in Him. A faith placed in anyone else or anything else is considered misplaced faith. See, we should not be placing our faith in our job. We should not be placing our faith in our wealth. We should not be placing our faith in anything other than Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:3 that each one of us in this room are given a measure of faith. And what we do with that faith matters. And the effectiveness of that faith has everything to do with who or what we place our faith in. Does that make sense? The Bible says, does that make sense? No? Should I go back and just do it all over again? Are you guys still sleeping? Because it's 9 o'clock. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. What are you doing with the faith God has given to you? See, this woman chose to put her faith in Jesus, and it made all the difference in the world. Would we agree with that? It made all the difference in the world. Notice the power of Jesus. Verse number 22. "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her," hey, he didn't yell at her for trying to reach out because she was unclean. He didn't say, "Hey, get away from me." Notice what he said. When he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." He said, "Hey, hope is here." When Jesus comes into our lives, it doesn't matter how broken your marriage is, how broken your health is, how broken your life is. Hey, God brings comfort. He brings something nothing else can bring. And I like what he says. He says, "Be of good comfort. Thy faith," you catch that? "Thy faith," remember, faith is the missing link. "Thy faith has made thee" what? "Whole." Whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Jesus has always had the power to heal this woman, but it wasn't until she came to Jesus in faith that she was healed. You know, the truth is, faith in Jesus doesn't just have to be public to be powerful. It can be quiet. She was trying to just slip in through the background, Steve. She didn't want anybody to really know what she was trying to do. She wasn't trying to touch Jesus. She was just trying to say, "Hey, can I just sneak in here, man, for the press, and just even touch his clothes because I know he has power to do this." See, Jesus responds to imperfect but genuine faith. Her faith revealed what Jesus had the power to do all along. It wasn't that does that make sense? Her faith revealed the power of Jesus. There's a phrase in Scripture, and we'll see it as we come upon it, but he could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their faith. Because they didn't believe. It wasn't that he didn't have the power to do it. It was that they didn't have the faith to believe it. Do we understand that? We see faith believes Jesus has power over disease, but then number two, faith believes Jesus has power over death. Jesus has power over death. You're going to see here the father's problem. The father's problem. Verse number 18 says, "While he spake," we're back to verse number 18, "while he spake these things unto them," interrupting Jesus, "behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. This man brought his impossible problem to Jesus." Would everybody agree that that's an impossible problem? Death? Are you guys awake this morning? He brought his impossible problem to the Lord. This man's daughter was dead. Death is the absolute end of all human ability. A man has no power after death. That's all there is to it. None. But then we see this father's faith. It's like, man, can you imagine how much faith he had to go to seek down and hunt down Jesus? And as Jesus is in the middle of teaching, he's like, Master, Master, I can see the panic in his voice and the hope. Man, the Messiah, Jesus, can you help me? You see the father's faith in verse number 18. He says, while he spake these things unto them, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but... Hey, I know it's impossible, Lord, but, hey, Lord, I know it's impossible with man, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. Only God can do this. Man cannot do this. This is God showing us his power through his son. But come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. Does that sound like faith to you? Absolutely. So this is the second count where we see faith happening in verse 19. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. One thing is absolutely clear is that even in the midst of the most hopeless circumstances, Jesus brings hope when our faith is placed in him. That's why he tells us, if the Lord is our shepherd, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because he's guiding us through it. He's walking us through it. Jairus comes desperate, but he also comes believing. Faith continues even when hope seems gone. Faith sees when circumstances are at their worst that Jesus can still have his way in the whirlwind, like Nahum says. But then we see the power of Jesus. Look at verse number 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrel and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, because why? They knew he was dead, but he's like, no, I'm gonna get ready to raise her right up here, right here. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof, went abroad into all the land. He takes her by the hand, and she arises. By all human assumption, there was no help for this young girl until Jesus stepped into the room. None. None. Do you see what Matthew is trying to show us? That there's no hope. There, man, we need Jesus. He is the, you know, it's interesting because when I got contemplating the whole chapter as a whole and just what we've been walking through, one thing is made clear in this chapter. Jesus doesn't just have authority to forgive sins. He has power to defeat death. You know, in the very beginning of this chapter, we start out with a palsied man who was brought to Jesus by four friends. And remember, the first thing Jesus addressed with that man was not his physical condition. It was his spiritual condition. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And here, now, Jesus, death has no power. And I love what 1 Corinthians says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory through our faith in Jesus Christ. Man, there it is. There it is. True faith trusts Jesus past the point of impossible. For with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All right? What is final to us is not final to him. But you're going to see this process of problem, faith, his power. Problem, faith, his power. And every single time faith is placed in Jesus, something miraculous happens. He reveals his power to the person with the faith. We see point number three, faith believes Jesus has power over darkness. Faith believes Jesus has power over darkness. And we're talking about a blindness here. The problem that these men faced. Look at verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Once again, Jesus is going somewhere, another interruption. And here, these men are crying out to him. These men were hopelessly trapped in darkness. They could not see. They were physically blind. Now, I want you to take note of the physical blindness. The physical blindness. But then I want you to notice the faith that these men displayed. Look at verse number 28. And we'll come back to that physical blindness in a minute. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said unto them, listen very closely to this statement. Jesus is saying to them, believe ye that I am able. Jesus is saying, not do you believe, is someone else able? Are the doctors able? Is this person able? Or is that person able? He says, do you believe specifically, very pointedly, that I am able? Pointing to himself. Do you believe that I am able to do this? He says to these men. He makes it a very clear yes or no. They said unto him, Yea, Lord, we believe in you. You know, when I talk to people about salvation and what they're trusting in, do you believe? Would you be able to say, like Jesus, when he asked the question, do you believe that I am able to save your soul? It's either a yes or no. It's either all Jesus or not Jesus at all. It's not 99% Jesus and 1% you, or 95% Jesus and then 5% religion and you trying to be a good person. No, the wages of sin is death. There's none that does good. There's none that doeth good. No, not one, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. He would say to us today, hey, do you know where you're going when you die? Because if you don't believe in me, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, he says to these guys, faith in Jesus is the common denominator to these miracles. Jesus has always had the power. The question is, do you have the faith? And we know that you have the faith. The greater question is, where's your faith placed at? Who's your faith placed in? People place their faith in all kinds of things. You hear me say it all the time. Those fellows that flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they had some faith, but their faith was severely misplaced. Their faith wasn't saving faith, and they're finding that out when they pass from this life to the next. We can put faith in the wrong place. We see next Jesus' power. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. In our lives, the avenue by which the power of God flows is through our faith in him, not our works done for him. Do you get it? It's not maybe God will do this for me and answer my prayer because I'm doing all these things for him. That is not the link to see a God work. It's faith. It's faith in him. The issue is not a shortage of power on his side, but often a lack of faith on our side. Verse 30 would say, their eyes were opened and Jesus straightly charged them saying, see that no man know it, but they went. But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the countries. Remember how I was talking about their blindness for a second? And I said, hey, think about that thought. You know what's interesting about these blind men is they had no visual proof that Jesus had ever done one miracle. They couldn't see it. I hear people say all the time, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, these men never saw one visible miracle that Jesus ever, but they heard. They're doing the same thing that we're doing today. We're hearing God's word, but yet they believed in the impossible, and they never saw any of it. Enough so much that they were blind and willing to scream out for Jesus and beg people to lead them to Jesus, even though they had never seen one miracle. What's that tell you? It's not in seeing. Jesus said to Thomas, you know, when Thomas said, Lord, I believe, he said, well, bless those who believe and don't see. Hey, these guys believed and they had never saw it with their eyes. If you have to see it before believe it, you're not believing it. You're not walking by faith. You are walking by sight. And the Bible clearly says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith doesn't stand still waiting for proof. Faith steps forward and then sight catches up later. We see that faith believes Jesus has power over the disease, death, and darkness. But then number four, as we move on down to chapters, he just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And faith is the connector for each miracle. Faith is the link in Jesus Christ for each miracle. We see number four, faith believes Jesus has power over the devil. Faith believes Jesus has power over the devil. We see the problem, verse number 32. As they went out, behold, they brought, some men have brought a man to him, a dumb man possessed with the devil. Dumb doesn't mean mental incapacity here. It means physical inability to be able to talk. And he was possessed with the devil. We see a man oppressed, unable to speak, completely controlled, no ability to help himself. They brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. But then we see these other men demonstrated faith in Jesus, that he had power, a power to do what no one else could do. We see in verse 33, Jesus demonstrates the power. Look at it. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. They marveled. They wondered at what marvelous things they saw. Man, they saw the palsy man healed. They saw the woman healed. They saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. They saw two blind men. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? I would be marveling too. We should absolutely marvel. See, Jesus has power over all authority. Jesus has power and all authority over every condition that vexes man, both physically and spiritually. And while some marveled, it blows my mind, this next verse. Death, man, overcome. Sin, overcome. Blindness, overcome. But verse 34, But the Pharisee said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Basically telling Jesus he's working for the devil. Can you imagine that? Jesus, so don't be discouraged when people start to say bad things about you. If they said it about Jesus, they're going to say it about you. If they murmured in corners about Jesus, they're going to murmur in corners about you. If they're going to look at the Son of God and say the things that they say, hey, he tells us they're going to say the same things about you. And was their statement true? No. No. See, everyone marveled at the wonderful works of Jesus, but the Pharisees, they were jealous, they were envious of Jesus. And they did all that they could do to diminish and tear him down, even to the point of calling himself a devil. Many amazing miracles had been done, but they were so critically focused, they missed them all. They missed them all. They missed all the miracles. They saw them, but they didn't give God the credit. And even worse, they missed Jesus himself. And then notice number five, faith believes Jesus is never, faith believes Jesus is never inconvenienced by people. This is the last point, but you know, Jesus didn't view people in this chapter as an inconvenience, but an opportunity. When people interrupt your life and what you're doing, don't get frustrated with them. Be kind to them. Jesus was. Think about how many times in this chapter Jesus was interrupted. The palsy man, Jesus is teaching the palsy man, here, bam, what? I'm in the middle of something, you know? He's like, oh, yeah, come on down. Think about this. It wasn't an inconvenience. It was an opportunity. Jairus' daughter, while he's yet speaking, the Bible says in verse 18, Jesus is literally in the middle of doing something. He's in the middle of communicating, teaching. Jairus says, hey, help, help. Another opportunity, there it is. The woman with the issue of blood interrupted Jesus as he was going to Jairus. Jesus stops, turns around. The blind man interrupted Jesus on his way. Son of David. The men who brought the demon-possessed man. All of these people, were in desperate need. They needed a touch, they needed a talk, or his time, and he was willing to give it to them. He didn't become frustrated with them. He didn't view them as an inconvenience, and he still doesn't. Think about these three takeaways from this thought right here. First one is, don't view people as an inconvenience to you. Don't view people as an inconvenience to you. I'm too busy. I got too much work to do. I have stuff going on. I can't really do it right now. Don't view people as an inconvenience, but an opportunity for you to share the love of Jesus with them. Remember the three T's, the three T's. It's time, it's a touch, and a talk. It's time, it's a touch, and a talk. Spend time with them, talk to them, reach out and touch them. If somebody is coming to you or seeking, or you know somebody needs something, hey, make time for them. Don't view people as an inconvenience. But you know, the second thing is, don't view yourself as an inconvenience. This kind of hits home even more than the other one. You know, sometimes we view ourselves as an inconvenience. Well, why does the Lord even care about my situation? Why does the Lord care about what I have going on? Jesus is never too busy or has too much going on. You and I are never an inconvenience to him. Jesus is still, and I want you to think about this, Jesus is still the same person in heaven as he was on this earth. If he was here today, anybody could interrupt him, walk into him, talk with him, and he would make time for them. He's still the same, we just can't see him today. He's still always making time. He's still always, we are never, ever, ever an inconvenience to him. You know, thirdly, though, as I pondered this thought of seeing how many times Jesus was interrupted in the way that he responded through it all, you know, we shouldn't view people as an inconvenience. We shouldn't view ourselves as an inconvenience, but you know, most importantly, we should never, ever view Jesus as an inconvenience. You know, Jesus never turned away anyone, but many people turned away Jesus. Many people turned away from him. Hey, the Pharisees. Jesus made time for everyone and anyone who would come to him. It's never been that Jesus doesn't have time for us. Most often it's we don't have time for him. I challenge you, don't say that you don't have time today to spend with Jesus. Make time to spend with him. He makes time to spend with you. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you open and make time for him, or say, I don't really have time for him? Has your church attendance or your Bible reading or your prayer life become more of an inconvenience to you or an opportunity for you to draw close to Jesus? Verse number 35, Jesus, man, anybody and everybody, man, he's making time for them. He's loving on them. Look at verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among them. Jesus made time for the people. Let's make sure that we make time for Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, my wife, she's just going to come sit at the piano. But I'd like us to take some time and reflect on what we've heard today. Faith is the missing link. Those who put their faith in Jesus see the power of God revealed through their faith in Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around today, I hope you're reminded there is no problem behind his power. It's not just, Jesus isn't calling us just to believe. He's calling us to move. He's calling us to action. Your faith should propel you to something. Man, if you believe Jesus and you're following after him, hey, you should be earnestly seeking him. When's the last time you opened your Bible? Well, I don't have time for that. I gotta get to work. How's your church attendance been? Well, I got other things to do. Has Jesus become an inconvenience to you? Hey, you've never been an inconvenience to him, not one time. Every time you've prayed, he's heard every word. Every tear that you've cried, he's caught them in a bottle. What steps of faith do you need to take this week? Maybe there's something in your life that you need to stop trying to force and control and manipulate to work out to the way that you want it to. And you need to let go of the control button. And you need to start walking by faith. What are you still trying to control instead of surrendering to Jesus? You know, and the thing about faith is you don't have to understand everything to have faith and to trust. You just got to be willing to trust the Lord and obey what he's telling you to do. Will you trust him when things don't make sense right now? You know, and think about faith. Faith reaches and Jesus responds. Have you truly come to him for your salvation? All these people put their faith in Jesus. Has there been a time in your life where you have invited Jesus, where you have reached for Jesus, where you have called out to him, not for money, not for your bills, not for your health, not for your marriage, but where you've called out to him for your soul, for the healing of your soul? Not your physical condition. Has there been a time in your life where you put your faith and in action and in words, you've reached for him and said, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Will you save me? Lord, I believe that you can. I believe you're the only one that can. If you've never called upon the name of Jesus, let today be that day. The prayer team will be up here. Me and my wife will be up here afterwards. Or right now in your seat, you can call upon the Lord. You know, the thing is faith doesn't wait for perfect conditions. It acts now. What are you waiting on that God has already called you to do? What do you know you should be doing, but you're not doing that the Lord is saying, hey, I want you to do this. Stop resisting. Maybe it's giving that tithe to the Lord, right? That's a hard thing. Hey, trust the Lord. That's faith. Maybe it's getting up and spending time reading God's word. Well, I don't see how it's going to help me. Hey, it's faith. See, the question isn't his power, it's your response. Will you place your faith in him today? With heads bowed and eyes closed, worship team's going to come. Let's pray. Father God, I love you and I thank you for just the reminder today, Lord, that there's no human condition that you don't have the power, both physically and spiritually, to heal. Lord, what a hope-filled reminder for us today that there is nothing when our faith is in you, when you are the object of our faith, when it is faith alone in Christ alone, that there's nothing in our lives that you can't do. Lord, and I pray that you would help us today be a church that is filled with faith, stepping out by faith, not being afraid, but Lord, stepping forward. If we say we believe, help us to step forward in action and show the world. I pray that we would be a church that would let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And Lord God, I pray that you'd be with the message today. Lord, I thank you that we have never been viewed in your eyes as an inconvenience, Lord, and I pray that we would never view others as an inconvenience, but most importantly, Lord God, I pray that we would never, ever view you as an inconvenience, Lord. I pray that we would never be too busy to walk with you, to attend this church that you've bought and paid for with your blood. Lord, that we would never say, hey, it's too busy, I got too much going on. Lord God, may your Spirit work in us in ways that only you know, Lord God. Produce in us a clean heart, Lord God. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.